You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
There's duty as being a light in a dark world. We live in a morally and spiritually dark world. We are the lights. We're supposed to shine in that world. Particularly, it points back to verse 8 and to the command to walk as children of light. So this is what Paul means. In view of your responsibility as light to be separate from darkness and evil, and even to expose the darkness in the world by your goodness, by your righteousness, by your truth, by your life, watch carefully how you live your Christian life in this world.
God's Word teaches you that you should number your days to gain a heart of wisdom. This, of course, isn't natural or easy, as you may feel you have all the time in the world to make your life and your Christian witness count. Today, Pastor Tom will encourage you as you step into a new year to be watchful, aware, and careful how you walk your life of faith. He will challenge you to watch carefully what you say and do. Be a light in the dark world and make the most of your time and opportunities. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 as he begins his message, A Making Most of Time in the New Year.
We're going to take time out also from John today, even before we get into 2 Thessalonians and turn to the letter of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Talk a little bit about our time and our use of time. There is one scene in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, and if you're looking for a book to read this year and want a suggestion, I would suggest reading the second best-selling book of all time, and that is Pilgrim's Progress, behind the Bible. It's an allegory of the Christian life, the Christian walk. There are even books written in more modern versions with explanatory statements along the way. And it's just a great allegory. But there's one scene there where Christian, the main character who represents a Christian on a walk towards heaven, towards the celestial city, was ferociously attacked from both sides by two roaring lions. He stood there terrified on the path that he was supposed to be following. The lion's paws were reaching out to rip him to shreds. But Christian quickly discovered that he was protected as long as he stayed there in the middle of the path. The lions couldn't reach him there because they were held back by some very strong chains just out of reach of those massive paws that otherwise would bring his death. For Christian, though, to safely pass by the lions, he had to keep his eyes right on the pathway and right in front of him to make sure that he would step properly in the right place, right in the middle of the pathway. If he took his eye off of the path, startled maybe by the turmoil around him, he could easily stray into one of the lion's reach and be ripped and devoured. This allegory illustrates how important watchfulness is to the Christian way of life, to be a watchful Christian, to know what is coming ahead of you, to be aware, to be alert. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, we are exhorted, gird your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, there are too few Christians that take care how they walk throughout the year. Jesus reminded his disciples in the garden the night he was betrayed, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, and you know the rest, but the flesh is weak. But like those disciples, on the night Jesus was betrayed, too many carefree Christians practice caution only when it is obvious that it is needed. Naive of unseen dangers, they skip carelessly toward them, giving little thought to what might happen. Yet our Lord reminds us that life is short. The temptations and the pitfalls are many, and therefore all of our time upon this earth is important. I remember a t-shirt that read, Life is short, and it was a takeoff on the philosophy of the world. And instead of saying play hard, it said pray hard. God would not have us squander our days and our years pursuing that which will not last to eternity. There's an anonymous poem, as far as I know it's anonymous, that points this out. It says, "Just a tiny little minute, only 60 seconds in it, forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it." Eternity has been described as the vast ocean that the rivers of time flow toward. That means all that we do is heading towards eternity, even those tiny little minutes, or those hours, or those days, or those years. Psalm 90 says, "Teach us to number our days that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom." Please remember that we don't do that naturally, do we? Instead, we assume we have plenty of time left. We have all kinds of visions for our future. We have a hard time picking them, and we kind of bounce around depending upon circumstances. Every once in a while, something happens in our lives that reminds us that time is short upon earth, and we need to pay close attention to the way we live. Sometimes it is the death of a loved one, and that reminds us how short life is here. James 4:14 is a good reminder of that. It says, "You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." Sometimes what kind of gets us thinking about time a little bit more and being more careful with our time is a birthday. We realize we're a little older and we're wondering about our lives. Maybe it's an anniversary, some other special day like that, or a New Year's Day like we have today. Thank God for those calendar dates or those events in our life that are designed to wake us out of a slumber, to shore up our determination to make the most of our days. But then after that happens, it seems the inevitable happens again. Time passes, the excitement of the new commitments begin to fade, distractions of life cause the mind to drift away from central goals into all of the tyranny of the urgent things that press themselves upon us. And then that inward pride, that kind of quiet pride inside of us, reassures us that all is going well, even though we're really not having a careful watch over our souls. Why is it that we let that happen? And can that reoccurring event be prevented? Can we learn to walk wisely and do it consistently and not fall back into a slumber? Well, I think so, and I think this passage will help. It's at the same time a command to watch how we walk. It's also an assurance for the determined Christian that such a day-by-day walk in the Christian life is attainable. Let's go ahead and read Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. Paul exhorts, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." And it goes on with further similar exhortations. Just in these few words, these two verses, we are reminded of what we'll call the watchful walk. The watchful walk. First, there is the command to watch how we walk. That's at the beginning of verse 15. Then there are the characteristics of the watchful walk, second half of verse 15 and beginning of verse 16. And then the circumstances that require our watchful walk. It's the last part of verse 16. The command, the characteristics, and the circumstances of our watchful walk. Let's look at the command first and understand this so we know what we're exhorted to do. Beginning of verse 15. "Therefore, be careful how you walk." By using the word "therefore," some of your translations will have the word "then." Paul is tying this command backward to his teaching in the previous verses to our duties. And if you look back there, we haven't studied it together, but there's duty as being a light in a dark world. We live in a morally and spiritually dark world. We are the lights. We're supposed to shine in that world. Particularly, it points back to verse 8 and to the command to walk as children of light. So this is what Paul means. In view of your responsibility as light to be separate from darkness and evil, and even to expose the darkness in the world by your goodness, by your righteousness, by your truth, by your life, watch carefully how you live your Christian life in this world. What you are called to be in the world, that is light, is not a mindless and automatic thing. You don't just turn the light bulb on, forget about it, and walk around. You must watch carefully how your light burns. Watch what you say. Watch what you practice. What you spend your time doing. what you get out of each opportunity that is brought your way. To intensify the importance of watching, in the Greek, the command to look, the verb blepo, comes first in the sentence, and that's a way of accentuating it when it comes first. Watch, Paul says, look out, make certain of this. That same word is used in Philippians 3:2. It's the same verb. There it is translated, beware. Beware of the dogs, Paul warns about false teachers. In Colossians 4:17, again, the same verb. Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it, he exhorted one of the workers. But our passage goes even one step further than those passages. After the command, it adds an adverb, akrobos. It can be translated carefully or accurately. Don't just watch. I want you to watch carefully, is the exhortation. This is a strong call for attention to what is going on in your life, your thinking, your heart, your circumstances, where you are in life. Give it a lot of thought. Like a soldier at the post. Can't just hang out there and just sort of wish the time to go away. You need to be alert. There are dangers. What is it that we're supposed to watch carefully? Well, next it says, watch how you walk. In other words, where your next step is going to be. Yeah, think of someone who's walking across a log, maybe even a wet log, and a raging river is below, and they're being very careful. Where are they put their next step? They want to make sure they don't put it in the wrong spot or they'll slip, and there may be certain doom below if they slip and fall all that way. You are in the midst of a walk, Christian. You know that. Many of the times we turn to Paul's letters in particular, talks about walking, walk in love, you know, walk in truth. But here we're being told when we walk, be careful how you walk. Be accurate in the way you walk. Be certain where you're going to put your feet next. There are traps. There are perils, spiritually speaking. They're around. And often we are more naive to them than we realize. There are lions waiting to reach out and grab you if you stray too far and bring pain into your life. In fact, if you look back in the chapter, there are things even in this chapter that you can step into that would entrap you and cause you to slip. One would be sexual immorality. And this is important, you know, for those of you that it's important for all of us, but particularly for those of you who are at that age where you're beginning to court and all of that, you have to be very careful about that. But even for everyone else, be very careful about what you watch. You can get too loose about the things that you put in for entertainment, thinking, oh, that's just one bad scene, that's another bad scene. And over time, it begins to break down your defenses, and you become more and more acclimated to that, and you give your mind over to that. You can step into that. Anyone in here can. You can stir up in your heart unholy passions even after coming to church, reading a good book, having a wonderful quiet time. Be careful about that. There are filthy and harmful words that you can begin to say. Those around you maybe begin to say that. Maybe you work in an environment where there's a lot of filthy speech. Maybe your neighbors are like that. You need to be careful that doesn't become part of your vocabulary or their attitudes. Even if your words don't slip into cuss words, is your mind slipping into that attitude of complaining and some of the gross thoughts that come along with that? Greediness is another one that's mentioned earlier. Greediness can derail your witness to the unsaved. It's not satisfying of the heart. Covetousness is there as well. Wrapping your heart around the things of the world, then getting it, then realizing your heart's not satisfied after all. You know, watching our Christian walk, I think, is rather rare these days. I think despite the strength with which Paul gives this command, it really is a command that is quite neglected. And I wanted us to hear it here on New Year's Day because I think it is neglected. Let me ask you this question just as you're continuing to listen through the rest of this message. How carefully do you watch your walk? And I'm not asking you how carefully you watch your checkbook. Many of you do a good job with that. I'm asking you how carefully you watch the way you live your Christian life. In Hebrews 13:17, it exhorts Christians, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. So that's what pastors and elders have to do, watch over your souls. But you're also instructed the same thing. Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. So we have to watch over you as elders. Watch out for bitterness that gets into your heart. Watch out for a lack of forgiveness. Watch out for anger, for malice. If you go all the way back to chapter 4 of Ephesians, it talks about laying those kinds of things aside and forgiving one another and having a heart of compassion and tenderness towards others. Why? Because it's exactly what the Lord did for you when you were involved in all your sins against Him. And so we have to watch over you, but you have to watch over your own heart. Maybe you're getting to the place where your heart's getting harder and harder, and you're not willing to care for other people, and you justify that, and you don't realize what's going on in your heart, but God has to wake you out of your slumber. Maybe you're just getting careless with some of your recreation and entertainment. You don't realize that those are that's the beginning steps towards some violation of Scripture. We're told back there in chapter 4, since I mentioned it, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Your sacred duty is to take the words of God and apply those words to your life. Coming to church is great. Taking notes is even better. None of that really guarantees a watchful walk. It's when you take the words of God, chew on them, remember them, and put them into practice all week long. So many believers just stumble along in their Christian lives. They just don't know what they're doing. They're hoping someone else will tell them what to do. They listen to sermons. They don't apply sermons. Then trouble happens in their marriage. Trouble happens in their family. Trouble happens in their own heart with anxieties or fears or anger. And they run to counseling. And all of a sudden, they want counseling, and they come for counsel. Why did they come for counsel? Because they weren't watching most of the time. We all need some counsel. I'm not negating the importance of counseling in church. I'm glad that we have counselors, that we counsel one another. But often, people come in for counseling because they were not watchful. They just were coming and sitting and learning, filling their head, but they weren't careful about their walk. And so now something has happened that they didn't watch out for. They didn't see the patterns in their own life developing. Now they don't know what to do about it. They're coming running in, hoping there'll be a quick message either to correct them or correct the person they're angry at. And then, boom, it'll be done. I remember a woman in a former church who used to ask younger Christian women what the Lord was teaching them in their life and what they were learning from their daily quiet times. And she said that regularly church women, even those who were the busiest in church, really didn't have too much to say. Well, the Lord is teaching me this. They didn't have something to say because they weren't being watchful in their Christian walk. They weren't having quiet times, and if they were, it was sort of just reading, and they weren't thinking, how does that apply to my own life? This has been a concern for the men as well. Rare is the man who wants to devote himself to study the Bible. Rarer still is the man who desires to study how well he is applying the Bible. Yes, many are willing to discuss church activities, church problems, to discuss solving those problems, doctrinal issues, but unwilling, listen, to study themselves. Why is it that I respond that way when someone talks to me like that? Why is it that I get so upset when I see that happen? Study yourself. Study your spirit. Study your reactions to things, your habits, your mannerisms, what you don't do that you should be doing, what you leave for other people to do, and then what you complain about when they don't do it. Study your own life, put it in a book, and begin to analyze your own self. I'll bet you for this new year, many of you have financial goals, and I hope you do. I do as well. Those are good things to have. I'll bet you many of you are going to soon have a talk with your spouse, and you're going to sit down and think, what are our goals for our children this year? And you're going to try to have goals for them, and maybe they should take these lessons, and we should improve these academics and work with them more on keeping their room tidy or whatever it may be. You may have goals for your business. In fact, the business that doesn't have goals probably isn't a business that'll be around too long. But let me ask you what your spiritual goals are for yourself. Do you even know what they are? Could you list three or four of them? Have you taken time to write them down, to expand the writing of them? Not just, well, I want to be more thankful, but to think about how I can become more of a thankful person and to write that out. Not just, I want to stop lusting, but to think about what needs to change in your life to fill your mind with good things to remove you from those areas of temptation. What are your spiritual goals? Do you really want to change? How much do you want to be used by God? That will come about because you watch yourself. You say all of that sounds too confining. It sounds rather involved, too much work. But I don't think Pilgrim was confined by walking on the pathway and avoiding the lions. It was exactly where he needed to be. Are you training to be a leader in church, to help others out, to help them in their walks, to be a small group leader or a leader of some other kind? Timothy was warned in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. He had to study doctrine and he had to study himself, not just one, but both. Leaders have to watch how they walk, and that takes discipline. R. Kent Hughes, in his book, Disciplines of a Godly Man, there's another great book to start with for this year, Disciplines of a Godly Man by R. Kent Hughes, makes this point. Some may minimize the importance of spiritual discipline now, but no one will in eternity. The word discipline may raise the feeling of stultifying constraint in some minds, suggesting a claustrophobic, restricted life. Nothing could be further from the truth. Spiritual discipline frees us from the gravity of this present age and allows us to soar with the saints and angels. Different way of looking at discipline, eh? A careful walk, a disciplined walk, has its rewards. You'll never be disappointed that you're disciplined in areas of the soul. Yes, but you don't understand my schedule, Pastor. And you don't understand my schedule either. We all have different schedules, and that won't work because the Lord understands all of our schedules and he understands life, right? Some feel they don't have daily time for silent meditation, prayer, and study. And by the way, if you have one goal this year and it was going to be either read through the whole Bible or study your soul and take a few verses and carefully apply those verses to your life, I'd rather you have that goal because a lot of reading is like a lot of listening if you don't apply it. Far better to have 5 or 10 verses you spend a lot of time applying to your life this year that are needed than to read all 31,173 verses of the Bible and then not apply much to your soul. It's far better to be obedient and to change your life. Beware if you carry your excuses to the grave. You will hold on to those excuses and you will try to utter them in the presence of the Lord, and I doubt they will even come out. There is a lack of watchfulness, too, I think, in the realm of church. There are 6 things that a pastor hates, yes, 7 that are an abomination to him. A lack of commitment from members, a slumbering mind during a sermon. I know this is the wrong sermon to ask this of you all after last night. Prayer partners who forget to pray, busyness in church that distracts from worship, lame excuses for not attending Bible classes, sermon notes left in the pew and never applied, and one who never wants to speak of the condition of his soul, but always changes the topic to sports, to the weather, to business, and to politics. Listen, if a brother or sister walks up to you and say, how you're doing, they're asking you how your spirit is doing. Hopefully that's what you're asking. And they want an answer that comes from your heart and is not a churchy kind of answer that says, I'm fine, everything's fine.
Time. You think you have much of it left, but the Bible makes it clear that you don't know how much time you have to live a full, abundant, fruitful Christian life of faith. Today, Pastor Tom challenged you not to squander your days and years pursuing that which will not last until eternity. But instead, he encouraged you to be careful in your walk of faith. Make the most of your life and every opportunity God gives you to be a light in a dark world. Discover Hope is a listener-supported ministry, and we'd like to offer you the opportunity to be a part of sharing the gospel message. Would you join us in praying for our listeners? Pray that the love and grace of Jesus will be evident in each new broadcast, and that many would come to know the hope of salvation. Thanks for praying. If you feel led to contribute financially to this ministry as well, you can do so by visiting hopebible.org and clicking the Giving tab at the top of the page. We appreciate every amount given and use it to continue producing the messages of Pastor Tom Leake that you hear on Discover Hope. God commands you to be careful how you walk in this life as a believer. You may wonder what that means practically in life. What characterizes a careful life? Next time on Discover Hope, Pastor Tom will explain what a careful walk looks like and will challenge you to apply the words of God to your life. Examine how well you're learning the lessons God is teaching you and what needs to change in you. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for this edition of Discover Hope. You can listen to more messages from this and other books of the Bible by visiting hopebiblechurch.org. And be sure to join us again right here on Discover Hope.